Welcome to the Oh For Food's Sake podcast, where we unwrap the struggles of working in the food industry so that you can thrive in what you do best while sustaining a rewarding and fulfilling career or business. We are your hosts, Lucy Wager, food industry consultant,
and Amy Wilkinson, coach and facilitator, bringing you our expertise of starting a food brand and working in the food industry for the last 20 years. Our podcast is for you to find new ways to cope with the daily struggles, but mostly to inspire you to work on what's not working, to ultimately improve your career or business long term.
So welcome to our episode, everybody.
Hi, everyone.
How's your week been, Amy?
It's been good. What have I been doing this week? I've been putting together a couple of proposals for some innovation workshops, which is very exciting. It's something I love doing, so that's quite exciting. What else have I been doing? I don't even know. Lots of coaching calls, but yeah, I think your week's been a little bit more manic than mine, hasn't it?
Painful. My week has been painful. I had my wisdom teeth roots removed a week today. And it's still painful.
But it's awful, isn't it? I had it probably 15 years ago. And oh my God. No, when you told me you were having them, I was like, I'm not going to tell her how bad it is. I kind of wish I had now.
Well, I wasn't prepared for how painful it was going to be. So then I went away with the kids, and then somebody ran into the back of my car when Sam was driving it. And, you know, it's just been one of those weeks. But
yeah,
all is well now.
It kind of links into what we're going to talk about this week, isn't it? Which is kind of balancing family life and having a career. So this was one of the questions when we asked people, what do you want us to talk about? It was one of the things that people came back with, and we both looked at each other and went, I don't know.
Well, I think I burst out laughing.
But when we've kind of talked it through, I think we hopefully have some useful stuff to share, but we will kind of say that we're not gurus in this. So we would love your views as well, but we'll give you how we balance things and go.
Yeah. And I think it's quite good because we've got very different situations, haven't we? And we were in very different situations when we had our babies.
Yeah. Yeah. As you as self-employed and me kind of working for a big corporate, and it was quite different. And I was a bit older and all of that. So tell us, Lucy, you went first, you became a mum first. Talk about your experience.
Yes. So I became a mum in 2016, and I had quite a horrible pregnancy because I had a kidney stone while I was pregnant, which meant that I ended up with a nephrostomy, which is a tube into your kidney, and then your wee goes into a bag. It's all very
lovely,
very dramatic. And so I had that for the entire pregnancy from 17 weeks, and it was very painful. I was on morphine till I was 30 weeks pregnant, and it was just really, really difficult. And thankfully my husband is an excellent nurse, so he really looked after me and like changed my bags and did all the gross stuff. So so it was a traumatic pregnancy, and I was about 3 years into podology at this point, and I'd just started on a an accelerator course, and I was traveling into Liverpool nearly every day whilst trying to manage this difficult, painful pregnancy. And I didn't take any maternity leave. And actually, it worked quite well because I'd just transferred from manufacturing ourselves to a contract manufacturer. So I'd sort of released myself from manufacturing myself, which anyone who's listening who manufactures themselves will completely understand what I'm talking about.
You're effectively not having to stand there all day making stuff.
Yeah, and doing everything else on top. So I felt like I'd like released myself from a lot of business pressure.
Yeah.
So it happened. So that was very well planned. It's probably like one of the most well planned things I'd ever done.
Did you plan it because you knew you were having a baby?
Yes, I did. Because like we'd had this discussion about what to do for the next stage of podology. And this is probably a whole different story, but basically me and my dad did all the production. And I said to my dad, if you and my twin brother, this would be great because you could focus on the operations, but he used to go on 6 week holidays and stuff like that as retirement.
He was desperately trying to retire and still.
Yeah. Although he's telling me yesterday how much he missed it still. Anyway, so I'd released myself and it was quite well planned. And so I had this new baby. And so although I wasn't on maternity leave, I felt like I was in a much better place from a business perspective because I was just doing the sort of paper-based, admin-based, sales-based, all the other stuff, which was still quite a lot, but it was manageable. And I also had a very, very good baby.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which actually makes such a difference, doesn't it? And the problem is you have no idea whether you're going to have a good baby. I hate the term good baby, but it is the reality. It's like one that cries a lot or one that doesn't cry a lot.
Yeah. And she slept a lot. She still loves sleeping a lot. She's five and she still sleeps the most. She's just like my husband, Sammy, loves sleep. They love sleep. They can just sleep all day. So I had a very good experience and I enjoyed the fact that I had a distraction from being a new mum. And I saw the effect that other mums had, that it had on other mums, where they were just in that baby zone with no distraction. And I felt really lucky. And I had this wonderful experience. However, I didn't have the same experience with my son because the business was in a very different position. I liquidated the business a year later. So from that, you can imagine.
You weren't in charge and in control kind of place as you were.
And
with Bella.
I did a very bad job of balancing family and career during that period of time. I was doing this massive factory transfer again to a different factory. I'd moved house at the same time. We were renovating the house and I was pregnant. And my husband had told me that it was all the wrong thing to do and we were doing too much at the same time. And I was like, no, it'll be fine. It wasn't fine.
Let's hope he doesn't listen.
He definitely won't. He's right. So it was really hard. And I really regret that I don't feel like I spent enough time with Monty when he was a baby. I was actually looking at old pictures of him as a baby and I feel really sad about it. And I have that real guilt. And I know we all have that mum guilt.
Yeah, and I think a lot of mums feel that with second children as well. I was a second child. Like, how many photos are there of you versus your older sister? Because I totally feel that.
True.
So there's a bit of, that's just the reality of parenthood, isn't it? To a degree as well.
Yes.
But so you've got your regrets, you've got your learnings, and we're going to share a bit of what's helped you, helped me, and all of that throughout this episode, aren't we?
And that's very much the sort of baby stage because things do change again, which we'll talk about.
And my daughter's three, you've got a five-year-old and is nearly three. Yeah. So there'll be people listening that have got teenage kids and they're like, I know a lot more than you do now, my old boss, she's got a teenage girl. And whenever I'm like moaning about whatever to her, she's like, just you wait, it's never ending, isn't it?
It changes constantly.
Yeah. Just when you've got it all sorted, it changes again.
And that's the thing, because it's a constant learning curve, isn't it? And they change. You change. So my work situation has completely changed. So has yours.
Yeah.
You have to adapt. They have to adapt. It's a massive juggle. We're always talking about the juggle. You know, me and Jess are little bandits. Like, juggle is our favorite word.
Yeah.
And this isn't just mums, because there's dads that also do the majority of drop-offs and pickups. Whoever that is, whether it's the mum or the dad, it is a juggle,
It isn't even necessarily about just being a parent as well. You know, the juggle can be, I'm that little bit older and I've got lots of friends that have got elderly parents, that they have to worry about caring or other people within their families. It's not as cut and dry as, you've got kids. Juggling life is.
Yeah. And also dogs. Because they're like children. Yeah, they are. It's like, sometimes I think it's harder. And I was on the phone to on a Zoom call the other day, and somebody had two dogs, and one of them had been really poorly and so had just come back from the vet, and then the other one had been really ill the night before. And I was like, this is like a conversation. Pets are part of the family, aren't they? We have a life out of work, basically. Yeah. I suppose yes. is what it comes down to, and it's how you make sure you're getting the best from both of those lives.
Yeah, yeah.
How they interact.
Well, and that's the thing, we're a whole person, aren't we? We're not, I think people kind of, and that's where the term work-life balance doesn't really kind of work. It's more of a, I don't know, a blend, or a, you know, it's all parts of you, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're still you all day long kind of
thing. Yeah, exactly. So tell us about your early experience of...
Yeah, so I became a mum a couple of years later than you, 2018, and I was working full-time. I had a big team. It was when I was working at Insight, a big corporate and all of that. And I just turned 40, literally the month before I became a mum. And it was a massive shock to my system, I have to say. You know, up until that point, my whole life and my whole identity had been about work and had been about being a leader and all of those things. And then all of a sudden, it feels so cliche to say it, but all of a sudden, I'm stuck at home, I'm knee deep in nappies, I'm knackered. And I actually found maternity leave really hard. And I did do antenatal classes. So I had a couple of really good friends that I made through that time. And honestly, and even to this day, we have a WhatsApp group and we message every single day, that without them, I don't know how I'd have got through it. And I was never diagnosed with anything or whatever, but looking back now, I think I had some sort of postnatal anxiety. I definitely was quite anxious about leaving the house. And it was about that identity crisis. Like, I was not a natural mother. I don't know if anybody is. I think some people are. Yeah, but do you know, I almost had imposter syndrome about being a mum. I was like, I'm going to do all of this wrong. And yeah. I didn't. And I got to the point where I got so anxious about going out, I just didn't go out. And then that just perpetuates the kind of issue. So I think in hindsight, so I took a full year off. I knew that I was only going to have one child. That was my, you know, that was the decision. I'm 40. At 40, people are still saying to me now, when are you going to have another? I'm like, 43. I'm not. I'm too tired and old. And my partner's 47. We'll be retired when they're still at school at this rate. So I won't be. So I was like, this is my opportunity. Take a full year. You've got to take a full year. And there was almost that pressure of, women have fought for this. The women before me have fought to have for me to have a whole year. So I must. And I'm a feminist. So I'm like, I must do that. And yeah, that was not necessarily the right thing for me. I think I wish I'd gone back sooner. And when I did go back, I went back into a different role. And I've been thinking about this quite a lot, because I had a conversation with the head of department, you know, a few months before you're going back and everything. And she suggested to me that I might want to go into a less stressful role, because managing a big team and all the stuff that goes with that. And at the time, I kind of appreciated that. And she's a mum. But then there's part of me now that's like, that's kind of not discriminatory, but it kind of happens, doesn't it? That there's that assumption that you're not going to want to go back into a more stressful role, that you're not even stressful, but like a leadership role or whatever, because I wanted to do 4 days. It feels a bit uncomfortable now when I look back on it.
Yeah. Although it's a bit disappointing, isn't it?
Yeah. Although the conversation I had with her at the time was, actually, we'd love you to come back into a kind of more mentoring-y coaching role.
Oh, okay.
Which didn't happen because there was a restructure, because let's be honest, there's always restructures in the industry. But it planted a seed, and that's how I've ended up where I am. So I'm actually really grateful for that conversation now. But there are elements of it where I kind of think,
It could really knock your confidence as well, couldn't it?
The assumption that you're not going to be...
Yeah.
Able to cope with being a mum and the same job that you had previously.
And this is turning into a maternity style conversation, but I've heard horror stories, and obviously I didn't have this because I was working for myself, but I've heard it must be quite scary, like, because I've heard horror stories of things happening to people while they're on maternity leave from an employment perspective.
I had a lot of angst in thinking about going back, knowing what was going to go back. And it's really hard because it is going into a maternity conversation. But, you know, employment law protects women and says you don't need to have those conversations sooner. You don't, you know, that it can be non-committal up to, but actually you might want to know quite early on,
yeah,
you know, be very structured about when you're going back, what you're doing, but you feel like you shouldn't be because you just don't know, you know, it is a difficult one.
Because even difficult. When you have like I find even when I have like a week's holiday from work, when you come back into the thick of it, it's like you feel like, oh God, I can't remember what I'm doing. Everything's changed. Yeah. You know, it's like
I talked about, didn't I? Because the role I did end up going back into was kind of a role I hadn't done for a couple of years. And then I was in tears on the phone to my boss going, I can't do this anymore. I shouldn't. I can only bullshit and delegate anymore. I can't do the doing, you know. Yeah. So actually, would it have been better for me to that's my term for leadership. That's really bad, isn't it? Bullshit and delegate. But that's my that's the way.
That's Amy's advice for the day.
But you know, going from being a leader that is looking at strategy, is managing and leading other people, to going back into a doing job, how was that going to be less stressful for me? You know, I don't. Anyway.
I think anything would be stressful after a year of not going into a workplace.
Yeah.
Like you wouldn't expect a child to not go to, you know, like through the lockdown, it's like we've all accepted that it's been a difficult thing for children to sort of not be at school and then be going back to school. Yeah. It's an upheaval. It's a huge upheaval for anybody, you know, to be in that situation.
Anyway, should we move on from maternity leave talks and just talk about kind of how we
balance? Yeah. So the biggest thing for me is trying not to put so much pressure on myself. And this is something that I am really working on, because I desperately want my children to be happy and enjoy themselves. And I've gone through this new experience at the moment because it's my daughter's first school summer holiday experience. Which has felt really daunting, because I've had like little insights into it because of, well, lockdown in a way, not that that's different, but Easter holidays, which I put her into holiday clubs, which was a bit too much. So for the summer holidays, I had this massive plan, booked things, booked time that I wouldn't be working, that I would take them away. And my husband's got this new job, so he's completely out of the picture. So he can't come away with us. So that brings me on to another thing, because some people say to me like, oh God, you know, I don't know how you do it. Like you're always working and you've got these young children. And basically I don't do any housework at all because I would rather be working.
Yeah. I mean, when we were planning this episode, I was like, I call that outsourcing. So you outsource certain things. Yeah. So you've got a cleaner.
Yeah, so I've got a cleaner who I love her. She, you know, she's just, because I haven't got time to like fold the kids' clothes and do that sort of stuff. So she really helps me. Obviously, I do like basic stuff like loading, emptying the dishwasher. Also, Sam will say that he does all of that. So there's a lot of like sort of mum duties that I just don't do in the house because I'd rather
be. It's funny that you call them mum duties, because why are those mum duties?
Yeah,
so that's a big thing for me, is that you have to, when you go from being a couple into being a family, you have to reframe it, don't you? It's, you're a partnership.
Yes.
And therefore, you know, and I've had those difficult conversations they can be difficult, you know, because you get accused of nagging or whatever, but there needs to be more equality in the household tasks, as well as childcare and pickups and drop-offs and all of that sort of thing.
And you've got to have a dynamic in your house that works, because everybody's different. Every family is different. And so Sam does sometimes try and do the washing, and I hate it when he does the washing because he mixes things I don't want mixed.
So I bet it's because the colours aren't separated.
He doesn't do it. Like, I can't stand it when he does that. So, you know, so I either like to do that or Sweetie does it. Mm. But Sam does a lot of stuff that I don't like doing. Like, so, you know, we have a really good balance and we respect what each other does. And we also respect that work is very, very important to both of us. And we're both very busy, worky, orientated people. Yeah. And so we have that same kind of ambitious focus on our lives as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's important, because to recognize that that's important, and then it's okay to let go of some of the other stuff. So like, so what if you don't have an immaculate house? Because I'm thinking some people might be listening thinking, well, you're quite privileged, we're both quite privileged, I have a cleaner too, to be able to afford to do that and to have that. But I didn't have one for a lot of lockdown, and I just let go of the perfection of having an immaculate house. The reality is you can't do everything, you can't do it all, and you have to accept that. And it's almost like that, like you say, the priority, knowing that you both want to have careers, means that, you know, you have to adjust those other things, and you can't, it isn't, because so often I see that what happens stereotypically is that women in the past have always been the ones that go part-time, take the kind of lesser paid job, that sort of thing. But that's not our reality, is it? You know,
no.
For both of us. And, you know, I have always, all my life, been the breadwinner, and to shift into that mindset, it ain't happening for me. You know, it's, and you have to have that partnership approach to it.
I wouldn't be able to do what I do if I didn't have my mum and the support that she gives me with the children. Because, and that was why when I was talking earlier about the move that we did, we moved to be closer to my family because I needed more support with the kids. And I'd said them, and that was the conversation I had with Sam, because I couldn't do what I wanted to do work-wise and not have somebody that could really help me with pickups, drop-offs. You know, like today, after I do this, I'm going to London and I'm not going to be back till late. And I didn't know where Sam was going to be. So my mum is picking the kids up. She's going to stay over. Yeah. And, you know, I've got that incredible
support network.
And that is also changing, because when school starts and summer holidays, and I've got, you know, a couple of close friends with kids the same age as Bella who, you know, that they picked her up after a club, and, you know, we all went around there and had dinner, and that friend is like amazing. And, you know, so it's,
I think that is actually a real top tip, is that you talked about the support network of your family, but you also need to find your tribe and support network of friends that you can help each other out with that sort of stuff.
And you've got people to have
that
options.
You trust with your kids.
Yeah. Yes. You know. And that's something that's quite new to me, because I've always relied on my family. I hadn't had that until quite recently. And it's making a real big difference, because I don't feel like I'm putting on my mum as much as I was, because, you know, she's getting older and she's got things going on as well. And it's nice for the kids, because
it's nice for the kids, and it's nice for the grown-ups as well.
Yeah.
I think that's because that's one thing that I often talk to clients about, is, you know, we get into this like whole, you can get into a cycle where life is all about work or childcare, basically. And you need to have more than, we all need more than that in life. And you need social interaction with other people. And you might find that you're at a different life stage. You know, I've got friends that don't have kids, and therefore it is not as interesting to them to spend an afternoon doing whatever we do with our afternoons. But you find kids and parents that you get on with, and you create a different kind of social life, but it's social interaction that isn't just about work, and it isn't just about, I guess it is still about childcare, but, you know, you can have grown-up conversations, especially as they start to get a little bit more self-sufficient. And we were at the local park at the weekend. My daughter went running off with a nursery friend who I'd never met before, but it was quite nice because you could, you know, obviously she was still in sight and stuff like that. But, you know, I was having a grown-up conversation with her dad and, you know, finding out about what he does in his life. And it's like, you know, it's quite nice to have that kind of social interaction.
Definitely. And I find as well, it's nice to broaden your network, because I found particularly during my podology years, I was so consumed. I lost contact with a lot of people, lost contact with you. And, you know, I was so consumed by everything that I literally just had podology, children, you know, sorting it all out. And life has become a bit more varied now.
Yeah. There's just no joy in just working and just...
No.
Running a household effectively, isn't it? I mean, God, that sounds really 1950s, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. We've all got a house that we've got to run.
Yeah.
But so flexible working. So we both obviously work for ourselves now, mm-hmm. and we have the benefit of managing our own diaries to a big extent.
Yeah.
But I suppose, you know, there's going to be people listening that don't have that benefit in inverted commas and have other juggles, which we still feel, I still feel sometimes, because if I'm not working from home and I've got to be back for pickup, you know, that is quite stressful, like knowing that you've got to be somewhere.
Yeah, it really changes, doesn't it? It's like your working day. If I think about when I was employed, there's other people that don't have that same pressure where they've got to leave. I used to need to leave at 5 to 5 so that I didn't get stuck at a railway crossing, because then that messed up the whole journey home. So you're clock watching, and you don't want to be, you know, you want to be the person that is happy to stay a little bit late and have that conversation and whatever, but you can't, you know, it changes, but you have to accept that that has changed.
Yeah. You put a brilliant post on LinkedIn a few weeks ago about that realization. Like, before you have children, you see people having to do things a certain way, and you don't understand.
And you think they're sloping off, or you know, what time do you call this? You're 5 minutes late, and they've literally negotiated World War III with a toddler before they've got to work. And I think I've said it before on here that I apologize to those people that just didn't get it before. But yeah, I think thinking about that, and I do think the workplaces are getting more flexible. There's more people working from home. Mm. But I think that can be a blessing in itself, but it can also be a curse, because if work are really understanding and let you leave at 3 to go and pick the kids up, and then you feel like obliged to log on late at night, you may find that you are working longer hours than you should be. So it's kind of, you have to keep those boundaries in place and really think about those things. Another thing that's just come into my head that's interesting around that kind of whole flexible working thing. So when I went back to work, I went back 4 days a week, and there is something about 4 days a week. Interesting, my sister works 3 days a week. She doesn't have any kids. She just made that decision. And we've had discussions about, if you work 3 days a week, that's kind of a real expression of intent. I am part-time. Mm. 4 days a week, you often get treated like somebody that works 5 days. Yeah. So there is the, oh, could you just pop on this call on a Friday? Could you just check your email? Because we just need to, you know, all of that sort of thing. So just bearing that in mind when you decide to go back 4 days or whatever, that does happen, and you are in control of that boundary. You are not getting paid for that. If you were doing another job on that day, you wouldn't be answering those emails, because you'd be like, oh, I'm getting paid by someone else. Well, you know, think of it as you're getting paid by your kids, whatever it is, you know, to try and put that boundary in place.
That's a good
but point. There's somebody else that I that was on maternity leave at the same time as me, and she's a commercial director, and she went back at 6 months, and she went back 5 days a week, and I was a bit kind of shocked by it, really. I don't know, maybe I was a bit judgy, and I apologize for that, because actually, we haven't spoken to her since. You know, she chooses to work 5 days because she says, if I work 4 days, I will just get paid for 4 days, but I'll be doing 5 days of work. Mm-hmm. And actually, with it, by doing 5 days, I can have that flexibility, and I can go and do pick up and then come back to work if I need to, sort of thing. Whereas actually, when you try and squeeze it all into 4 days, it's really difficult.
And that's interesting.
And you know, I went up from having my daughter in 4 days childcare up to 5 because I was finding it all too much. And that was after a conversation with you and giving me permission and making me feel so much better about doing that, because
It's really hard.
That I'm more present with her at weekends. You know, I was trying to do half and half, you know, trying to
work. I was just
going to
say, I was just going to say that I would love to hear from people who are self-employed who work less than 5 days a week. Because I think, and this is purely my experience, because I haven't had children in a corporate environment. I have only worked for myself while I've had kids. And I work 5 days a week. Because I love working. So, and I would rather be working than doing house stuff. Mm-hmm. So, like, if I'm not working, I feel like I should be doing house stuff. Like the thought of sort of having a day off regularly in the week to do something fun for myself doesn't sit well with me.
Mm.
Like I can't, I feel weird about it.
Yeah, I feel like that's like a coaching session to unpick.
Yeah,
that.
I've only just sort of really thought about that as I'm saying it. But yeah, I just want to say, because something really shocked me. Somebody said to me a few weeks ago, they've got two young children, and they said, oh, somebody said to me that the children who are in nursery 5 days a week look quite sad compared to the children that are in less. And can you imagine? I was like, no, my children are really happy. And I mean, Bella's obviously at school now, but Monty started at 3 days, I think, went to 4 days. And because Bella at nursery was always in 4 days, and I had her off one day with me, and it became really stressful.
Yeah, that's where I was at.
I couldn't cope. As I said, you know, as you just said, and when we were talking about it, I said, you're just not with them. You're not with work. You're just in this like minefield of a nightmare every Wednesday, which is the day that I had off. So Monty went to 5 days pretty quickly. And he's a boy. He's, you know, loves being very physical and that kind of thing. And they love being at nursery. And I'm not like trying to convince myself of that, because it's important to me that they are happy. And so I just wanted to say that, because I hope nobody is in that situation where they've been made to feel bad about stuff like that, because there is nothing wrong if it's right for you to do 5 days a week and that's what makes you happy and everyone in your family is happy. Don't listen to anybody else.
Yeah, I think that's such an important point, because we do compare ourselves and we shouldn't, you know, and it is a natural thing to do, but just try not to, because it is unique to everybody and every situation. And the other thing I would say is, if you follow like mum influencers on social media and whatever, there's all sorts, and the ones that I perceive as perfect and make me feel guilty about myself, I've stopped following. Just like, stop comparing yourself to those people, because A, it's the what they choose to put on social media, it's not necessarily reality. And B, their circumstances are different to yours. You know, we are all completely unique, and you've got to drop the comparison, and you've got to think about what works for you and your family, because that's all that blooming matters at the end of the day.
Exactly.
And no one has got it all together. You know, we think everybody else that is walking around and has got it all together, and nobody has. Everybody's winging it.
Like we haven't mentioned the boy, the mole, the fox and the horse story for a while, whatever it's called. That's what the horse said.
We really need to get the name of it right. I've got it on a case. So I guess just in as a kind of a roundup of the points that we've talked about, because we always go off in random directions. We talked quite a bit about maternity leave and all of that sort of stuff, but in terms of the support for how to get through,
I suppose our top three tips, or what we do, the things that we've thought about that, and I think we're probably stumbling over our words, because I certainly don't feel like I have got this nailed.
No. But that's the thing, no one has. No one has.
No.
So.
But what I do know is I really enjoy my work now. I really enjoy doing the podcast. My children are happy. And when we have thought about the things that we do to get through a day and a week and keep happy.
Yeah, it's all about, for me, it is all about getting that support from other people around you and accepting it, not just saying you need it. You have to actually allow it to happen.
Yeah.
And if you don't have the traditional kind of grandparents around and whatever, what other support can you get? Make friends with people that can help you.
Yeah.
And outsource, you know, we talked about your cleaner. I have somebody that does the ironing.
I think the other tip that I've got is, sorry, so while we're summarizing, I'm adding one more thing in, which I've learned through lockdown, actually, is to remember the partnership, because we talked about the partnership and sort of making sure that you're on the same level, but also remembering to be friends like you were before the family situation started.
Yeah. Because that also... So work on the relationship as well as the family life. Yeah. So that's kind of around the family. And then our kind of second one is around creating those boundaries, you know, however that looks for you, creating boundaries between work and
feeling okay about it. So if you need to leave at 5 to 5,
that's fine. Yeah. It's easily said, isn't it? But I just want to drop in here that my mum support group that I was talking about that we WhatsApp every day, I messaged them last night and said, we were recording this. What were their tips? And one of them said to me, just remember you're replaceable at work, but you're not replaceable as a mum. And
very true.
I thought that was really powerful. And she is an amazing, she went back to work after 6 months. And I'll just say, I didn't judge you. That wasn't who I was talking about. And she works full time and she completely bosses it, but she does, you know, prioritize her daughter over everything else. And, you know, you'll never get that back kind of thing.
Yeah.
So easy to get sucked into work. And then the third one is around dropping the comparison, isn't it? Just do you and don't worry about what everybody else is doing.
Yeah, that's so true. One of my friends who I love dearly, who is one of my support networks, we're very different. She is what I consider to be a serious super mum. She like irons everything. She works as well, but she is, you know, I'd love to be that kind of in control of the household.
You have and no idea what's going on behind closed doors.
I know. She comes into my house and she will openly say, "Oh my God, Lucy, why is it such a mess?"
Yeah.
And I love having that friendship with her because she can say that to me.
Yeah.
And we're very different, but it's okay because my kitchen is a mess at the moment. I'm looking at my kitchen, but I'm doing my podcast. I'll sort the kitchen out whenever. Yeah.
Because your priorities are different and that's why you shouldn't compare yourself to other people.
So
that's kind of our roundup, but we kind of want to say we really don't feel like gurus in this sort of thing, and we would love to hear from you, and especially from parents. You know, we've still got young children, but you know, how does it change over the years, and what hints and tips would you share with other listeners on how to maintain that balance and have a career and have a family at the same time.
I've really enjoyed this episode because it's such an important thing to talk about, isn't it? Because everybody has the same, we've all got the same struggles, different struggles, but we're all juggling and struggling.
Probably people that don't have a honeymoon might not listen to this episode, but it isn't just about having kids, it is just the juggle of life and accepting that you have to put boundaries in place, you have to stop comparing, and all of that, you know, you have to have a support network. That is the case regardless.
It is. Great. Okay. Well, hopefully you found that useful and provide some tips for everybody to use. We'd love to hear what you think. Come and see us on Facebook and we will see you next week.
See you next week.
Thank you for joining us today, and we hope you've enjoyed it. Take care and catch us next week.
And if you'd like to get in touch with us personally, Lucy is available for consultancy advice and is able to offer a free discovery call. Find her on Instagram at OutToLaunchMPD or over on LinkedIn.
And if you want to reach out to Amy for any coaching or facilitation support, then you can find her at Amy Wilkinson Coaching on Facebook, Instagram or LinkedIn. Thanks again. I'm Lucy.
And I'm Amy.
See you next time.